good is it, Fief, to have this guy in the studio?
I can't tell you how good it is, because having worked at one radio station together a while ago, Tone, yes. Having not seen you for so long, to have you back in a radio studio where you belong, it feels good. You haven't changed.
It's good to have another
at
comic
all.
Well,
in the room.
Well, thanks for that, but I love how what you're not saying is that from the moment I've got here, all we've done is tell terrible stories about management of radio stations that we work for.
Brilliant.
Not the people now, of course.
No.
This lot are great.
Our manager right now, he's on a plane actually from London. He's on here in the
news. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into it. Of course.
He's been in Europe for a week. We should just mention Tony Martin's new book is out, Fief. Deadly Kerfuffle, which is available now in all good bookstores.
Yes. So let's not talk radio. Let's talk books.
Books.
And Tony, you wouldn't even realise this.
Author.
You are in the studio with the author of three best-selling novels.
Seriously?
Oh, that's okay. I didn't have much to do when I lost my job at footy. So
okay.
I wrote a couple of books.
Is there a regular character? Is there a detective? Who is it?
Well, it's pretty much the two books are about me.
Right.
And the other one's about a football book about from sort of 8-year-olds to 15-year-olds. It's like a journal where they can write in every week.
Right. The ones that are about you, did you have to have a lawyer come in and say, you're not saying that?
Well, I did an autobiography, Fever My Own Words, which was written by someone else. So that was a beauty. Bestseller.
Are you reading your own book going,
well,
I wouldn't say that? Oh, you've never read it.
And looking through your book, mate.
He's never read our book.
I've never read our book.
Okay.
And I just flicked through your new novel and there's no pictures.
There's no pic section.
So I might struggle.
I could have some put in. What would you like? What things do you like to look at?
Well, off air, I'll give
out. Okay.
Well,
but I love it. It is partly inspired by reading letters to the editor.
Yes.
And I love this, Tone, because that's a gold mine for content.
Oh,
people
it is.
Who take the time to write a letter. I mean, even I always say this about social media trolls. You've got to find the time to, one, care.
Yes.
Two, actually put effort and energy in.
Older people writing in, complaining about things. The one I always mention is a friend of mine, Anthony Morgan, the comedian, has one in his wallet that he always shows people. And it's, remember a few years ago there was a Neanderthal man found in the ice, in Scandinavia?
Yeah.
And he had a rock in his hand, and they worked out he'd use the rock to file his fingernails down and cut his hair. And so someone wrote into the paper and said, look, if a Neanderthal man, a primitive, can take a bit of trouble with his appearance, why can't the louts at my local shopping centre get a haircut? That wasn't a joke. That was deadly serious.
I think that guy was Brendan Fraser.
All right. Well,
Encino Man.
Was he the Encino Man? Was that Paulie Shaw? Who was the Encino Man?
I don't know. It was just me zinger.
Yeah, I prefer the later Paulie Shaw. It's like Biodome.
I love this quote. It says, proved yet again, there's nothing that you can't do.
Yes.
Which is a great little...
It's going paragraph. Well so far, that quote, but read on.
Yes, and it says, I almost wish I'd read the entire thing.
There you go.
Reviews are fantastic.
From our mate Pang.
It's Pang, of course.
Works on another radio station.
It's rubbish, isn't it? This isn't being recorded or broadcast.
Who even is that guy?
Now, Tone, we do want to, obviously, Deadly Kerfuffle. We recommend everybody read this great Christmas gift.
Sure, absolutely.
Pop that in stockings for family members and friends. But it is very opportune that we've got you here on a big day for us, because tonight it's a big moment, not just for our show, but for Melbourne, because an icon, an institution of Melbourne, Dracula's Theatre Restaurant, is closing down. We're going there tonight to celebrate our last hurrah. But after this, we would like to ask you how you feel about theatre restaurants, Tony.
Well,
good sell.
What I've heard is you can't get tickets to Dracula.
You can't. It's closing.
There's still one on the Gold Coast.
Oh, good news.
It's not the Sunshine Coast because Dracula
we will come
doesn't
back.
Like
next to Hooters.
Tony Martin's hanging around.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
A massive night tonight.
Draculast time.
For one Draculast time. He's a very good voiceover man, the young guy that helped us there, Tim James.
The Prince of Darkness.
Isn't it good? I mean, he had a great session.
One, two,
So he's a good vampire voiceover. But anyway, it is tonight, guys. Tonight is the night.
It is, and we're going down memory lane. We're remembering all great memories of Dracula's because the three of us and Tone, we've never been.
Well, I filmed something there once for The Late Show back in the 1990s. We had Dr. Harry Cooper reenacting a Alice Cooper video of Department of Youth that was all shot at Dracula's.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, that is, I want to see
that.
We
need to get that.
That is so good. Was
up to an extent, it was good.
Yeah. The concept sounds great. I'm not sure how it played out.
Have you ever? Because I, particularly from the days when I used to go to Melbourne Uni, and I was passing Dracula's every day, and have never been. Have you ever been as a patron?
No, not to that. I have been. Feb mentioned Dirty Dicks.
You've been to Dirty Dicks?
Well, there used to be a Dirty Dicks on Queensway, maybe, or
did
down there.
Yeah, we had our own Dirty Dicks in Melbourne.
Yeah, and it
Bar
was
20.
Hang on,
that's a different
What's the theme there? But no, it was all medieval banqueting and bringing in sort of a hog on a spit, and everyone had to go all hail the beef as it was brought in. And as I remember, there was no cutlery because you were eating with your hands like you were King Henry VIII or something.
Yeah. I mean, how didn't that take off?
More theatre restaurants. I actually think this should be a renaissance.
Well, there were so many in Melbourne. There was Nero's Fiddle, there was Bunratty Castle, there was Alcatraz, there was The Dungeon. The Alcatraz and The Dungeon, I remember, sued each other because they both claimed the catchphrase, "Come and get locked in for the night." It was the Tiki and John's Starship Crazy House. There were so many of them.
Tone, you are genuinely an expert on theatre restaurants.
I always remember with Tiki and John's Starship Crazy House, I always thought it was good to find out if you were safe enough to drive home if you could say their catchphrase, which was their comical four-course cruise across the galaxy. There you go. It's not easy to say.
It's not.
If you can't say that, you're not fit to drive home after your 17th chocolate pudding.
We've been hit up by people who have great memories. Even on Facebook, Stephanie Conyers wrote in that in March 2003, her now husband proposed to her at Dracula's.
Oh,
how romantic is that?
Emotional.
That's beautiful.
And we even
he was dressed as a werewolf at the time.
Because that's pre-Twilight. That's not even ironic. Debbie in South Morang. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Fifi. How are you?
Great. Debbie, we're heading down memory lane. Do you have any great memories from your time?
Yes, I do. I certainly do. It was the ghost train that scared the living daylights out of me. So, Bev, look out.
Oh, no.
Did you know this time? You've got a ghost train.
Within the restaurant.
Within the restaurant.
Yeah, when I first walked in.
Mm. And is it, so are you eating while you're travelling on the ghost train?
No. It's when you walk in.
Oh, it's just when you walk.
Right. How long does it go? Because Fev is genuinely scared, Deb. How long do you stay on the train? Is it like a minute ride or is it five?
Yeah, it's not that long at all. Everything falling down on your face.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Deb, do I just close my eyes or?
You're going to get felt. Something's going to feel you.
Well, I'm not sitting next to Buddy Fifi. I'll give you the tip.
Thank you, Debbie, for that emotional memory. They're flooding through here, Fev.
They are. Lee in Wyndham Vale. Hi, Lee.
Good morning.
Lee, you sound very jovial for someone who is acknowledging that the passing of Dracula's is on its way. This is a sad day.
It is a sad day for Melbourne, but like yous are doing, I've got a fantastic memory of it.
Mm.
Back in the day, when I first started seeing my girlfriend that became my wife, it was probably our second or third date early in the piece. We're both trying to behave ourselves in front of each other. A couple of early drinks in the night before we go there to loosen things up a bit. We get there and I'm pretty sure it was just before we got onto the ghost train, one of the blokes or people that worked there greeted us with a hell of a fright, and she got so scared she was hanging onto this tea because she had a couple of drinks and trying to play it cool, peed her pants.
She
peed her pants.
She peed her pants. We'd had a couple of early drinks. Because there was a bit of nerves because it was early days and she didn't want to go to the toilet and be uncool.
Lee, did you say now wife?
Yes.
To push through that.
That's great.
She played it so well. She owned it. She owned it. She didn't wet her pants.
And you're not going back to recreate that fabulous moment before the place closes down.
I'm not going to have another crack at that.
Hey, Lee, how did it end?
No, well, she went into the girls and I think might have change the pants or something like that.
No, I'm talking
under, after. Underpants, I'm not really, I'm not sure.
I'm talking after Dracula.
Strange line of questioning.
Oh, but, well, what do you mean, that night?
Yeah. Yeah, he's asking a very intimate personal question, Lee, which you're not required to answer.
We had a hotel not far up the road and it ended quite well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Beautiful memories.
Okay.
Thank you, Brendan.
She was furious when that hamster's going, this wouldn't have happened to Witches and Bridges.
Thank you, Tony Martin. You've got to get his new book, Deadly Kerfuffle, available now in all good bookstores. We hope it's not the last time you join us, mate. Right.
No, I'll be here as long as you're doing Beat the Bomb.
That's what I want. Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Anyone who's worked in a job, and it is most of us, particularly... I'm just saying.
Good reason.
I think it would be people that have never had a job. But if you've had a job, you'll know that at some stage in your career, you've had a boss give you a direction or give you or tell you how to do something. And in your mind, you go, that's ridiculous. Now, Disney, and I love Disney, don't get me wrong.
I love Disneyland. SCA.
Parent company here at the Fox.
I love Disneyland, and they have very strict rules. And we often hear about these. You know, if you work there, there are things you cannot say,
code words,
all sorts of things, because it's the happiest place on earth. And the staff have to maintain that ideal.
Well, they haven't worked here with you, have they?
Oh, Fev. Where's his... Come on,
it's not a joke. It's a serious, lovely compliment.
I think it was a joke.
No.
Anyway, so this is a new one over at Disneyland. Disney workers have been banned from pointing with one finger when giving directions.
Oh, come on.
Now, if you've ever been to Disneyland... You're always asking somebody for directions because you need to find the teacups or I want to meet Donald Duck, and then you ask an employee and to tell them they're not allowed to use one finger.
How do you do it then?
Well, this
you
is
use
the
your
brief.
Elbow.
No, they've been very specific that they have to gesture with two fingers.
What?
So one finger is considered rude, and it's I guess that they're saying it's like flicking the middle finger, but I think just pointing with one finger.
It's just pointing in a direction.
If someone pointed at me like that...
That's visual for no one can see you.
Two fingers.
It's like a gun sort of style.
Yeah, it's actually quite threatening.
Yeah. It is, yeah, two fingers. But anyway, that's the rule. So there would be Disney workers who have gone home to their partners, their boyfriends, girlfriends, and gone, can you believe this? And I think we've all been there at some stage. I remember when I worked for a wonderful retailer back in their Eastland jewelry and watch department.
We won't name the retailer.
Well, I will now. Maya.
Not your wife's business that you're trying to promote.
Some of the happiest days of my life were working as a retail assistant at Maya Eastland in the jewelry and watch department. And I remember we got every now and then in retail, you'll just go off to get retrained. And I remember we went to get retrained and it was a week sitting down. What are you doing under there?
I accidentally kicked a guitar.
What's not me?
So there's a guitar under the desk. Sorry, I kicked it. Continue.
And we got retrained. And I kid you not, like a specialist, some consultant came in and said to us, when you approach a customer, you cannot say to them, can I help you?
What?
You have to say, may I help you?
Oh,
and I'm not even kidding.
Come on.
If you said to, if somebody walked up and said, just looked lost and you said, hi, can I help you? If a manager heard that, they would come up and go, I think what you meant to say was, may I help
you? You've got to be joking.
But it's just one of those tiny things, they're semantics and they're often, you exactly, Byron, you think to yourself, you've got to be joking. 131060, have you got workplace rules or have you worked somewhere where you were given a rule and you thought, oh, you've got to be joking.
We'll take some calls on this.
What are you both looking at me for? You're waiting for a zinger.
Well, just when you're at Carlton, didn't they? They had that thing called pre-season training.
They just said to me, don't go out after the game.
And you said,
and I said
you've got to be joking.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Well, Fif, workers at Disneyland have been told you can't point people in a certain direction with one finger. It is now not policy.
No, the policy at Disneyland now is if someone asks you directions, you can't point. You have to gesture with two fingers, which almost seems ruder. But anyway, that's the store policy. Right. And this happens in workplaces. Sometimes you get, there's a rule or there's a directive and you think to yourself, come on, you've got to be kidding. Lex in Pakenham. Hey, Lex.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Yeah, good. Lex. Lex, has your boss told you to do something and you've thought that's just weird?
Yeah, well, I actually used to work in a small retail store. And as one of our rules, we weren't actually allowed to ask customers when they would come in if we could actually help them at all, like, because it would leave them to just say no straight up, and that would be a conversation ender.
Yeah. That's what I say. If someone says, can I help you, I'd say no straight
that's
away.
That's actually really true. Yeah. I'm interested.
Because you want to look around first.
Of course.
Yeah, that's right.
So what was so, his thing?
So we would actually approach them, say, hello, how are you, and, you know, find out, were you after something in particular today? Anything like that that would leave an open question for them to kind of engage.
Your boss has read a book, and in the book he's found out about open-ended questions and closed questions.
He's done some sort of workshop, some sort of Anthony Robbins thing.
Mate, if I had a retail store, I'd have alcoholic drinks in there, and I'd get my staff go up, you want a drink? But then it keeps them in there, have a couple of drinks, and then you go, oh, I might
maybe
buy
some
something.
Licensing issues with that.
Yeah, but you get that.
You mean because
you get the license?
Mate, you watch. This is going to be a thing.
Is it? No, I think you meant licensing, like because that's my catch cry.
Well, there's that as well.
There's my royalties. Have you got it on your wall?
No, I don't have it on my wall.
Zed is annoying. Mandy in Frankston. Hi, Mandy.
That's our playout system for those who care.
Yep. Hey, Mandy.
Good morning,
Mandy. What have you been told by your boss or your workplace that's ridiculous?
I was told that as working as a receptionist, you were not allowed to say no worries on the phone.
Wow. What did they have against no worries?
Because everybody has worries.
I love that. That's good.
That's un-Australian in many ways.
Do you know what? It's usually, Mandy, and you'd probably agree with it, they've employed somebody to research this and then to basically vindicate that person having a job. You've got to implement all this weird
consultants.
Stuff.
Okay, consultants. Got another one here on the phones.
Hey, Trace in Thornbury.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Tracy. What have you been told to do in the workplace that's just stupid?
Well, one of my first jobs, I used to work at a wig shop, and there was like four corners in the shop as such, and they had little containers, and they had four grey leads where you would take down the notes, you know, when the phone calls would come in for the orders, and there had to be four grey leads at all times.
that seems surplus to requirements. Couldn't just one grey lead do the job?
No, just in case. But there was no just in case, because if there wasn't four, we would know about it.
Wow, there you go. Have four grey leads.
Strict place.
There we go.
So I reckon I'm onto something with this alcohol at retails.
Oh, you're still on that, are you?
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, like, when people go to Tupperware parties, no one's buying bloody Tupperware. Everyone has a champagne. Mate, people come home with cupboards full of the crap.
But often you're shopping between, like...
They do!
But often you are shopping between meetings or school pickup. I don't think it's an appropriate time to just sit down and have a drink.
Boxy, tell me what person that works in the city or around goes out for lunch, has a cheeky wine. It happens.
I've never had a cheeky wine.
If you don't drink.
Babe, you can't plough customers with alcohol.
Oh, boring McFace over there.
Boring McBoring Face. We have a very special guest after this. What a historic day it was yesterday.
Bet you he has a couple of champers.
I bet he doesn't.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Such a huge day yesterday, celebrating love of the 7.8 million people who voted yes to same-sex marriage. It was a 61.6% yes. So much emotion pouring out through around the country, and we are now joined by our very own Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. Malcolm, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks, Fifi. It's great to be with you. And wasn't that a great day yesterday? Aren't you proud that we embraced as a nation, 61.6% of us, we embraced same-sex couples and we said, we respect you, we love you, we're voting yes for marriage equality, for fairness and commitment. It's brilliant.
I think it was, Malcolm. What I took out of it and saw the outpouring of emotion was the validation, because I think so many of us thought, oh, well, this is just a this is about legislation and legislating same-sex marriage. But when you saw people saying, oh, now it's okay to be me, I could see the emotion that was attached to it, and that was so important for the LGBT community. And now, Malcolm, I guess the big question is, okay, that was the result, and now there's so much to go through, isn't it? We've got to get through the Senate and through the House of Reps.
That's all underway, Fifi.
Oh, I mean, right.
The debate, the bill, it will be starting its debate in the Senate this morning. The debate on the bill and consideration of amendments will be completed in the week of the 27th, and then it will come down to the House. And I'm very confident that it'll all be done before Christmas. This is a fascinating subject, but I don't think the parliamentarians want to be debating it on Christmas Eve. So it'll get done.
Mr. Prime Minister, it's Fev here, mate. Well, congratulations.
Hey, Fev, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, mate. Great day yesterday. And going through the polls, more 18 to 24 voters than ever before.
That's right.
And you've got two children, Alex and Daisy. What did they think about the same-sex marriage? Because I've got girls myself.
Like me and Luce, they very strong yes voters. And you know what's interesting, Fev, is that so many people who opposed this postal survey, and it was opposed by people on the left from the Labor Party. There were some people even on my own side that didn't like it. But the reality is I pressed ahead with it. I believed that this would be a unifying moment for the Australian people, and it was. And, you know, people said, oh, the young people, they don't even know what a letter is. They don't know where to find the postbox. They found the postbox, don't you worry.
I was great. And that's great.
In record numbers.
Because young people, the idea, we just want to click Instagram and whatever, they were quite happy to jump through those hoops. And just one last one, Mr. Turnbull. What about the boom, this whole idea of a wedding industry boom, which is also great for the economy? This could roll out and make us millions and millions of dollars and obviously very meaningful, but also great for the economy.
Well, it will be. There'll certainly be a lot of weddings I think that's great. I mean, look, commitment is critical. This is there's nothing more important than the commitment of one person to another. I am a passionate believer in marriage. Lucy and I are passionate believers in marriage. We've been doing it for nearly 40 years, and it's all about commitment. And if two gay people want to make that same commitment, then why shouldn't we give it the same respect as the law has given our marriage?
Yes, you're right, Mr. Prime Minister. And can you please give me a date? Because I want to be a celebrant. I'm going to make a fortune here. I need a date because I've got to get onto it.
Yeah, well, you can. I think I'm sure there's a form you can fill in to become a celebrant.
Well, there you go.
Or perhaps you could become a wedding planner.
Yeah, it would be a great wedding.
I'd like you to do more than just sign a form, Fev. I'd like you to do some research.
And you probably don't know this down in Melbourne, Mr. Prime Minister.
Well, he's up in Sydney.
Yes, I know. But we're going to Dracula's tonight. It's a theatre restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's closing down. And we had your mate Bill Shorten on yesterday, and he told us a great story about theatre restaurant. And I'm a competitive person. Can you beat that? Have you got any stories?
I've never been to Dracula's, but yeah, so theatre restaurant. You know, I haven't been to a theatre restaurant for years. There used to be a good one over in the North Shore, round in Mossman and in Sydney.
I think it's called.
No,
Dirty
I can't.
Dicks
I can't give
Sydney.
You. A, I can't give you a, an interesting story about a theatre restaurant. But I'm sure that Dracula's will be a big night. Why is it closing down?
They're going out too much money.
Yeah, they're going out on a high. So we're disappointed. But you know, Malcolm, they'll love to know that you're with us in spirit tonight.
These are the big issues.
You do have a lot more on your plate than worrying about theatre restaurant anecdotes. So thank you for your time this morning.
Good on you. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, mate.
Mark,
here
he goes. Great okay, moment bye. in our history of our country.
He's definitely in a hurry.
He's got a little bit
really
on.
Quick to go.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Dracula's time.
Dracula's Melbourne, closing forever. And tonight, we are going out with a bang. You can still buy tickets up till December 23rd, by the way, draculas.com.au. But tonight, it's our night. This is going to be massive.
Tonight, we're going. We've filled Dracula's with all our listeners who are coming with us. We're really excited. We've never been. And we can't let Dracula's, an institution, a Melbourne icon, go without seeing what it's all about. Now, I just want to cover off a few things. So we know where the address is in North Carlton.
I know that I'm performing. I know Byron's dressing up.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Doing exactly what I said. Going to see the show. That was the whole point of this.
How does this happen every time?
Hey, I can't help that Craig McLaughlin came into the studio yesterday and Byron bestowed on you his Frankenfurter outfit.
What do you mean you can't help it? You're in a meeting that arranged for it to happen.
That, for you, is an honour.
And then you gave him the costume to pretend he gave it to me when, in fact, it was from you.
It was an honour and you should be grateful for that. Now, Fev, the staff at Dracula's have seen you in Peter Pan the musical.
You've been
on stage with The Bodyguard with Kevin and Whitney. You've done that.
Pauline.
Pauline, you had 5 seconds in Neighbours. Sure, I had six
months.
But they've recognised your talent and said, could we get Fev up on stage? Again, you're being celebrated. I don't know what your problem is. Now, I've got your...
He's performing at a theatre restaurant. That's his problem.
That I don't want to go to.
I'm looking forward to the three-course meal, my coffin cake, the chocolate dessert.
Now, can I ask you a question, Boxy?
Yeah, she's going to eat.
She can.
What am I doing?
This is the thing, Fev. Okay, so tonight at Dracula's, you are... Do you want your dialogue?
Is that my line?
Stuart, MC Stuart Reeve introduces you.
Stuart's a good MC.
And this is what you need to say. Ready? Can you remember this? Is everyone having fun so far? You can do that bit.
Mm.
Remember that? A big shout out to all our competition winners tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. We call them friends of the show. We invite you all to sit back, relax, as we peel back the layers of inhibition.
Inhibition, I'll stuff that up.
Inhibition. Not to mention the costume layers that don't mind flashing a bit of flesh here. It's like a pass, the parcel for perverts. I mean,
Work through the scripting. Stuart, if you're listening, get
and
it
then
right.
You're going to sing I Love Rock and Roll with the entire cast.
The whole song?
Yeah, hear it, all the lyrics Joan you need to learn. Yeah. I saw him dancing there by the record machine.
Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
So jump in on the chorus. You need to learn that verse. So that's a bit of fun for you, Fev, up on stage.
I can't wait.
Good. Byron dressed as Frankenfurter.
That's a really full-on costume. It's like suspenders and it's full-on.
I'm going to have to stop at the pub and have a couple of cold ones.
Actually,
before
Fev,
we go.
We've just heard you need to be there for sound check at 6 p.m. People rock up about 7:30.
Chance of that happening.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
This was going to be a story of the Fevolution, but look, Fev's busy because he's got to practice for tonight's performance at Dracula's. So Fifi has kindly stepped in.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're heaps of stories. Stories of the Fevolution.
Fifi, back catalogue.
From my vault. I love this. It's the first Fevolution story I've ever told. And I thought I'd make it topical. Australia, well done, going through to the World Cup. We're going to be in Russia.
Fevs are never topical.
I know. So I thought we're all, and Fev, you said earlier in the show how good it would be if we all went to Moscow and we broadcast there for the World Cup to get behind our boys, Socceroos. And I thought I'd tell a little story about when I was last in Russia. So I was in Moscow a few years ago.
Not that one.
Can you tell the whole story?
Not the one you told us in the hotel lobby.
No, not that story. Different story. So I was in Russia and it was for Transformers 4, the big movie that was of a few years ago and from that franchise. So a lot of the stars are over there and I had a day off, an afternoon off, and this is when I was working for Sunrise as their entertainment editor. And not to be confused with reporter, I was the actual editor. Anyway, so there I was. I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll go and get a massage. So I went down to the massage area and the girl said, we can't get you in for an hour. Would you like to enjoy our complimentary sauna spa area? And I went, okay. So I saw some people coming out of the sauna and they were in their swimwear and I only had like my bra and my undies. And I went, I guess I can go in bra and undies. So I just took my robe off and I was just my bra and undies and I went in and they didn't have the big towels, they'd run out, so they only had like a hand towel. And I thought, I don't want to necessarily expose everybody to this, so I put like a little hand towel that just covered me and I lay there in the sauna. And then I heard, while I was lying there with my eyes closed, I heard the door open and I went, oh, not somebody coming into the sauna, that's annoying, I like to be alone. But I just closed my eyes, went pretend they're not there, just be by myself. Anyway, they sat down near me and, you can just feel somebody breathing in the room because saunas are really closed environments. And
it's hot and steamy.
It's hot and steamy and it's a closed environment. I'm lying there going, oh, gosh, I'm not even, it was like middle of winter. Mm. So I wasn't even working out. I'm not looking my best. I'm lying here in my underwear with a little hand towel over me thinking, oh, this poor person's exposed to my half nudity at the moment. And then I thought I'll just have a quick look over and see who this person is. And it was Patrick Dempsey. I can't even tell you the
Grey's
crush
Anatomy.
I have on that. Grey's Anatomy.
McDreamy.
McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy was in a sauna while I am in not even matching underwear. The whole thing was like granny panties, the lot.
What was he
wearing?
I've
got this towel. he was just in, he had a towel wrapped around his waist, just sitting there. And, but I can't, you can imagine, because I was lying there and I thought sitting up is a worse, like that's not me at my best with a hand towel over me. I actually couldn't move. So I thought, I've got to wait till he leaves. Mm. And he wouldn't leave.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm like lying there about to pass out going, I refuse to stand in front of McDreamy in my bra and undies. So I literally was about to pass out. And then finally he got up and I like walked out and it was like I collapsed on the floor. I was melting. And that, my friends, is...
Here they are, the stories of the
FIFA-lution.
You know they eat the stories. Stories from the
FIFA-lution.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Got your own sting.
I know. Get to go into my back catalogue.
Well, you should have got up. Fun Park. Hey, Dempsey.
Fun Park weren't in the mood.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Yesterday, we all sat around here on the couches at 10 a.m. to watch the big announcement to find out what Australia had decided, how we all felt about same-sex marriage, and the yes, the tears, the emotion when we all found out was what we really remember most. But we were only discussing this a bit earlier.
At about 10:15.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny. When you point to a time, and let's be honest, everyone, all news outlets had said 10 a.m.
Yep.
Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., 10 a.m. So we all sat there at 10 a.m. Little did we know there'd be a warm-up act before the announcement. And, you know, look, a big shout-out to David Kalish from the ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics. He was the statistician. He knew the night before. A lot of pressure for David.
Yeah.
He had a big result to deliver. Now, there's an argument to say most people just wanted David to deliver that result. So at 10 a.m. on the ticker, hi, I'm David Kalish. Guess what? Yes! And then the crowd would have gone nuts. But no, it was, and let's not forget this, David considered this was his moment and a moment for the Australian Bureau of Statistics.
I'd like to welcome everyone here to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. It's probably the only time millions of Australians will gather to hear from the Australian statistician. As the nation's official statistical agency, the ABS provides trusted, relevant, objective statistics to inform Australia's important decisions. ABS statistics provide quality information about our society, our population, the economy, and the environment.
I went on for about another 3 minutes.
Just a few tips for Dave. I read live reads really well. He probably should have read over. He couldn't say his own job title.
Statistics is a difficult, it's a wordle, like it's one of those words you can stumble
job.
Over. I know, I think it was nerves. I actually felt for him, you could tell there was a lot of, he felt the nerves, because he would know that would be an audience like a grand final audience.
No.
So many people watching.
I can't have that, Byron.
Live at the ABS, and they sort of just had like those cheap pull-up banners behind him. It was a very interim kind of setup.
And you get out, 61.9%, yes. Bang, and release it all to the media.
That's it, because you'd argue, there is an argument to say that was a moment, particularly for the LGBTI, BTI community. That
yes.
was their moment, and it was a moment for Australia to all reflect on how we all feel about something. Well, not we all, obviously. People are all entitled to their opinions. But it was hijacked by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. It was almost like it was a commercial for them. And
yeah.
he thought, you know what, I'm going to get one shot at this to talk about the ABS and I am going to really give us a 15-minute plug. Sometimes this happens, not necessarily just in moments like yesterday at 10 a.m. It can be at a wedding. It can be at a work function. When have you or someone else hijacked a moment?
I like this, 13:10:60. We're having a look through the archive because it's a long archive here on this show, but there was a moment, and Fev recalls hearing this back, a young girl who had a unique opportunity to perform a song in front of a huge crowd at a Fox event, but it didn't quite go that way, did it, Fev?
No, it didn't. And when you're doing something with Boxy, she gets very competitive and sometimes it's a me time and she sung over... You sang very loud, and when the chorus came, I think you even shoved her aside punched out the song.
Do you know what I was trying to do? Because at the time I was doing, it was space filling. We were doing My Kitchen Rules MKR promotion, and we had 20 minutes to fill, and there was a little girl in the audience, and she was gorgeous, and she was 11, and she was practicing to be a singer.
Good.
So I said, why don't you get up and sing to the crowd? So she got up, but she was nervous. So I actually thought I was doing the right thing because I went, I'll sing with her.
And just stayed her out.
Your levels were very high.
What I hadn't factored in was, I project, and I might have projected a bit above her. So I still feel bad about that. It was her moment, and I did sing over her, but the intention was right.
Good stuff. 13 10 60 is the number.
Come up here, little kid, and then I'll sing over you.
I'm here to help you. 13 10 60. If you've done this or it's been done to you, we will take some calls after the break.
I think for an example, I think Leon, our producer, he had an example at a wedding with one of his friends.
Yeah, during a wedding, during the first dance, someone else ran through the door, an attendee at the wedding, and yelled out, "Oh, my wife's just gone into labour." I was like, well...
Not your moment.
Not your moment.
13 10 60 is the number.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now, we are talking about hijacking a moment. Fev just nearly hijacked my moment because I want to relive yesterday, 10 a.m., Wednesday morning, everyone was waiting, flicking on TV screens around the country to find out what the result of the plebiscite was. Is same-sex marriage going to go through Parliament? And we had to listen to, it was 10 or maybe 15 minutes of David Kalish promoting the Australian Bureau of Statistics.
I think it was about 4, but we'll say it was 15. It sounds better.
I'd like to welcome everyone here to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. It's probably the only time millions of Australians will gather to hear from the Australian statistician. As the nation's official statistical agency, the ABS provides trusted, relevant, objective statistics to inform Australia's important decisions. ABS statistics provide quality information about our society, our population, the economy, and the environment.
Look, he didn't mean to, but let's be honest, he hijacked the moment.
He did.
The ABS hijacked a moment that was really all about same-sex marriage, and we thought, you know, they're not alone in this. People love to hijack moments, and sometimes they don't know they're doing it. Rachel in Werribee. Hi, Rach.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, Rach. Have you hijacked a moment, or has somebody hijacked yours?
No, my father-in-law hijacked my wedding speech. He was meant to be talking about my husband and I, and instead started talking about our new two-week-old nephew and how great it was to have a new boy to the family kind of forgot about us standing next to him.
See that? You don't want that, Rach, do you?
What was the nephew's name?
Oliver.
Little Oliver. It's not Oliver's moment.
But was it? I mean, I'm guessing, Rach, he is cute, though.
He is, but that was my moment.
Here we go. Moment gone.
Alex's dad at our wedding sort of hijacked it a little bit. But not in a good way.
I know. He was nervous.
He was nervous.
Don't tell
he
that
stood
story
up there
again.
For 10 minutes and all he got out was, "Alex, I'm sorry."
That was really, but that's Alex, a case of, that's I'm actually sorry. A whole different area. That's a case of severe nerves and anxiety.
Oh, no, he stuffed
and
it.
And you make it worse by continuing to bring it up on radio.
He spoke about a little toy dog and then that was it.
I think he was nervous because his daughter was about to marry you.
Brendan Vavola. Taylor in Greenbelt.
He was wrapped.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Taylor, firstly, apologies because Fev just hijacked your moment with a really great story about his father-in-law. But who's hijacked your moment, Taylor?
Well, it wasn't mine. It was my little 3 to 4-year-old niece.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you stole her thunder.
No, her dance teacher stole her thunder.
Oh. So this is, I'm guessing, a dance concert?
Yes, it is. So my niece started dancing about a year ago and it was her first dance concert ever. And we're all sitting there with all the family and out she comes in a little ballerina tutu and out comes the teacher because the teacher's going to stand up there and show the kids what they're supposed to be doing because they're only so little. Mm. And she decided to take the thunder out of these 3-year-old little kids and just show everyone what she could do in the middle of the kids.
That's something Fife would do.
It was a dance teacher named Fife Box.
it was quite funny, but me and my dad were looking at each other like, Is this her concert or is this my niece's concert?
Unbelievable.
It's funny you mention that, Taylor, because Trixie does, in 2 weeks, she's got her first ballet concert.
Don't
little
go.
4-year-olds. No, I've been trying to encourage her to practice
right.
because I feel like she just hangs back.
Don't push. Like, don't
watch the show,
I
Dance
I want her
Moms.
To walk to the front.
That
all the other girls
well.
Walk to the front and Trix just hangs back a bit. Darling, let, front and centre, front and centre.
No, let her go.
And what a shame we didn't have time to tell the story about when Fifi crashed a debutante ball and destroyed a moment for about...
I was invited.
30 Year 10 students.
I mean, there's an argument to say that I shouldn't have got my hair and makeup professionally done and picked a designer wedding dress.
Another
that
story
aside,
for another time.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.